الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله وملائكته وأهل السماوات والأرضين حتى النملة في جحرها وحتى الحوت ليصلون على معلم الناس الخير، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله المولان العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama kiram, brothers and elders in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would first like to say that I am most honored and privileged to be invited to speak at this masjid. It is no easy task to speak in Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's masjid. It's a most daunting task, and one that is very difficult to keep up to the standards that Hazrat set in this masjid. But I will try my best, inshallah, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On a recent trip to one of our local supermarkets, I noticed a big display there of teddy bears, chocolate boxes, roses, etc., etc. So we know it is the time of Valentine's soon to come, and there is much hype that will be made about this event. There is not much time to delve into the history of this particular event, but I want to take few notes from the history of it because it is relevant to us today. The first thing is that the origination of this event was a festival called Lupercalia that was originated in ancient Rome. And when Rome adopted Christianity as its official religion, this was then changed into Valentine's Day in the name of one of the saints of Christianity. And the origins of this event, they influence the current Valentine's Day of today. Because if you have to look at what this event actually was, what was its celebration of, then we will understand why it is what it is today. In ancient times, at this particular date, there used to be a festival and there would be a lottery drawn where the young males and females would all put their names into this lottery. And whoever's name was drawn out from there, that male and female would be sexual partners for the day. For how long thereafter they chose, and every year this cycle will be repeated. So its origination was a festival of zina. And this origination and this festival of zina continues to fester in the world today. There is another angle for us to consider, especially as parents, as to the effect that this particular day has on the youth and our children, and even adults for that matter. You see, with the hype that is created, with the motivation and the publicity around this, whether it be in social media, on the different devices, on TV, or whether it is from the schools itself, because it is promoted even in primary schools, there is a great pressure on children to be recognized on this day, to receive a Valentine's gift on this day. And the pressure is of that level, or the anticipation is of that level, that the more gifts and more Valentines a person receives on that day, the more joyous, excited, and validated they feel. And the less that they receive, the more miserable, rejected, and dejected they feel. This is a reality. On this day that will come up, notice your children. Notice their behavior. It is something to take note of. And then this also is only a symptomatic effect of the current reality of what life is today. Because it is a question to ask ourselves, that how is it that a Muslim ummah can be so affected by a festival that has no roots in Islam, by a festival of zina? It is a question to ask ourselves. When this particular time comes, there is no lack of advertising this event. Whether it be in social media or whether it be in television. And this is where the danger comes for the Muslim ummah. That the influences of these things have so overtaken the mind that millions of Muslims are caught up in this cycle. Because from an Islamic angle, what is this event? In reality, what is it? Is this Valentine's gift and message not an invitation to sin? Is it not an invitation to zina? Which Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. That, O Muslim Ummah, do not even come close to zina. It is the most disgusting, disgraceful act, and it is the worst of ways. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَزْنِي الزَّانِي حِينَ يَزْنِي وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. That zina is such a despicable thing, so hated by Allah, and so intolerable to the iman in a person, that when a person is in the act of zina, iman cannot tolerate to remain in the body, it comes out of the body. It comes off the body and it waits. And only when the person is finished, then that iman can tolerate to return to the body. This which is so abhorred and detested in Islam, but the more invitations of zina a Muslim receives, the more happy and validated he feels. And the less that he receives, then he feels miserable, dejected, and depressed. This is an example of what the ummah is going through globally today. There is a massive attack on this ummah. We must realize this. There always was an attack on this ummah. There always was negative propaganda against this ummah. But the level that it has gone to today is perhaps unprecedented. We have two major systems. We have the system of media, whether that be the television, whether it be the devices that we own, whether it be the computers and internet that we have, and we have the current education system. These are two major influences that are corrupting the minds of the Muslims. And I will validate what I am saying. Let us consider multiple aspects. The first is the haya and the shame of a Muslim woman. That haya, which is inborn, inbred, it's inherent in every single female, that modesty and bashfulness. It has been replaced to such an extent that modesty, bashfulness, and covering the body is taken as a sign of backwardness. It is taken as a sign of oppression. And revealing and exposing yourself is taken as a sign of liberation and freedom. Take, for example, the homosexual agenda. Consider this for a moment, at what level it has reached. This type of behavior, that from the time of Adam alayhi salam, from the inception of man, until just this last century, was considered to be a most despicable, vile, and wicked act. Today it has become such a norm that not thousands but millions of Muslims will not only agree to this, that it is normal for a person to do, they will defend it as well. And if you speak against it, you are homophobic, you are hateful. And then we have, in our education system, we know how much hype recently in the media, the CSE, Comprehensive Sexual Education, how much hype it has received, the negativity from the public, Muslim and non-Muslim, of exposing our children to this type of education. But the government is proceeding irrespective, that they no longer consider, that they consider religious bodies an impediment in the way of progress. But what is this education system teaching? It is not to make them responsible about their sexuality. It is not for that. It is not for a program of abstinence before marriage. What it is a program to prevent unwanted pregnancies and STDs and sexually transmitted diseases. But if you are, in their words, responsible in the way you undertake sexual activity, whether it is from the opposite gender or with the same gender, then you have a green flag as far as this education system goes. In the recent years, if we look at our education system, the amount or how vociferous the propaganda and teaching of evolution has become, that not long ago, we received news that 11 medical students studying to become doctors became atheists. Here in Durban, in one of the prominent schools, Model C schools, 9 matric students became atheists. These are not minor issues. This ummah is hemorrhaging at the moment. These are major challenges that this ummah is facing at the time. It is that time when doubts are continuously being created in the minds about Islam. That people are sitting in the masjid, but in their minds, because of what they have seen, what they have read, what they have heard, they are doubting whether Islam is the truth, whether the Quran is the truth, whether Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an authentic messenger, whether Allah exists or not. This is doubts that is circulating in the minds of the ummah. You know, in this masjid, I have heard many times in the Isha Salah these verses being recited. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَكُمُ الْيَوْمِ That on that day of Qiyamah, a time will come when nur will be distributed, when light will be distributed. There will come a time where there will be absolute darkness on the plains of Qiyamah, where a person will not be able to see his hands. At that time, Allah will distribute nur to the believers. And some will be given nur to such an extent it will radiate an entire mountain. Some will be given to the extent that they will see the distance in front of them as far as the eyes can see. Some will be given the amount or the height of a man. Some will be given nur to the extent of their thumb. And that nur will flicker on and off. And as that nur flickers on, they will progress, and when it stops, they will halt. And Allah will give the nur to believers, and they will be advancing towards full sirat and towards Jannah. And the munafiqeen, they will be deprived of this nur. And they will ask the believers to wait for them, so we can catch up with you and get this nur, so we can also see the way ahead. And it will be told to them, قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَلْتَمِسُوا نُورًا Go back to where the nur was distributed. You will get your nur, and you will find your nur there. But when they go there, they will find nothing. فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ And between the believers and the munafiqeen, Allah will erect a wall of unimaginable proportion. And they will see the believers through this wall, through openings in this wall. And they will call out, يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ They will call out, أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ Were we not with you in the dunya? Under the tafsir of this, Ibn Kathir makes mention, were we not with you attending Jumu'ah Salah, attending congregational Salah in the masjid, did we not stand with you on the plains of Arafat as well? Alam nakum ma'akum. Qalu bala, they said, yes, you did. Walakinnakum fatantum anfusakum. But you put yourself and you succumb to temptation of sin, of lazzat, of fulfilling your desires. Fatantum anfusakum watarabbastum, and you delayed in making tawbah. Wartabtum, and this is the crucial one. Wartabtum, and you doubted. You doubted your iman. You doubted whether you would stand in front of Allah on this day. وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. You let Western propaganda, you let Shaitan deceive you about Islam, and you let Shaitan deceive you about Allah. Now it's too late. This is the warning for us that Allah sounds in the Quran. I remember some years back, Sheikh Khalid Baig, a prolific Muslim author and scholar, if you can get his book First Things First, get that book, it will benefit you to no amount. So he was down in South Africa and he gave a lecture. And I attended that lecture and he spoke about the manner in which the education system can be revised, revisited and overhauled. That education system that we have in Muslim schools, where it is amounts to Surah Fatiha at assembly and one period of Islamiyat, and the rest of education or the rest of the subjects on the secular system, how that can be completely changed and revised, that every subject can be taught from an Islamic perspective. And I was most impressed. And after the lecture, I went to him and I said that, in my naivety at the time, I said, you have planted the seeds of an empire. And I thought at that time, with the congregation that attended and the professionals that attended, that there will be a move to take this forward. But I underestimated the complacency of our community. And I fear, and we should all fear, the possibility that in our generation or in our grandchildren's generation, there will be mass irtidad of Muslims. There will be a time when Muslims in their thousands will abandon this deen. If we look at the education system of Islam, of what it was at the time when there was no shortage of pioneers of Muslims at the forefront of every science and every field of knowledge. If we have to look at the conditions at that time, that what made the Ummah who it was, that it was the universities of Spain and Morocco that the world flocked to, that the West flocked to be educated and to gain knowledge. What was it? It was the harmony, it was the conjunction and the joining of Islamic sciences and worldly sciences. In Islam, there was never render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar and unto God what belongs to God. That was never Islam. Islam was always that holistic system that embraced and that propagated and lit the field or lit the torch of every system of knowledge. Muhammad bin Musa al-Khwarizmi, the author of Kitabul Jabri wal-Muqabala, from the author or from who is the father of algebra in the world today. If you look at his khutbah, the introductory khutbah to that book, the introduction to that book, the magnificence of it, you will think it is one of the great books of fiqh, of Islamic learning. The khutbah to a book of maths, the manner he praised Allah, the durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how we should be grateful to Allah, and my objective of this book, that it is for the benefit of mankind. Abu Ali Sina, who who the West knows as Avicenna, the father of modern medicine, when he wrote on astronomy, geography, geology, alchemy, psychology, and he wrote on Islamic theology. Because all these giants and pioneers in the Muslim world, they were not only scholars of great repute in sciences, they were great ulama as well. It was this harmony of knowledge that produced in the world what Islam produced in its history. Today we have to consider that with the lack of this type of education, what have we suffered as a Muslim ummah, and what is the world suffering as a whole? We are at present in this country, we are poised at a most advantageous position. We cannot let the opportunities that we have in this country go to waste. We have a wealth of ulama. We have a wealth of resources in the Muslim community. These forces need to join together. The ulama and the professionals of this ummah, of this community, they need to join together. And we need to create that education system that will not make people atheist. Allah speaks in Quran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the creation of heavens and the earth are signs for men of intelligence. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض. They make deep introspection about the workings of the earth and the universe around them. And what does their finding lead to? رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Oh Allah, you created this world for a purpose. Today people study science and become atheists from it. What Allah says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ. We will show you our signs in the universe, وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and in your own bodies, until you will not be able to deny that Allah is the truth. But the education system is so corrupt that this education system, instead of bringing them to Allah, takes them away from Allah. We need to consider this, and this ummah needs to move with it. In other countries, I'm telling you, in the USA, in Australia, they are making great strides towards this. The system is already in motion. We have to see how our Muslim schools can adopt this, how we can create new educational systems, new educational institutes that will drive this type of education where there is a holistic balance between the Islamic sciences and the worldly sciences. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.